I get to...
Where's the music?
Hello, 159th day in the year of 2021. There remains 197 days left in this year. It's not too late to sign up for your cruise of the Mediterranean Sea. How does that sound? Those of you who have not been able to take your vacation, the world is opening up. So now it's time for you to put in for your cruise. Welcome to A Voice of a People, live here with Linda Sims here on WWGH 107.1 FM radio. And we stream live on the web, www.wwgh107.1, 107.1.com. You can download free app on any electronic device, cell phones, iPhones, laptops, or computers, and search WWGH. Now, you can find that app in your Play Store, okay? If you would like to call in, be a part of this conversation today, please call 740-383-9944. Let me share with you those who faithfully support A Voice of a People. Starting with Logos Christian Ministries, Pastor Jackie Peterson, 582 Lee Street, Marion, Ohio, 740-223-1515 or www.logoschristianministries.com. Logos Christian Ministries has an ongoing announcement, free produce, June the 19th from 12 noon until 2 p.m. Mark your calendars. If you are in need of free produce or know someone else who is, please share that information. We have Inspect Ohio LLC, your one call home inspection company with 29 years of experience working for you. The owner, Cheryl Lee, location LaRue, Ohio, 740-262-0939. And as I said yesterday, someone was telling me that Inspect Ohio had done a home inspection for them and they were really pleased with their work. So that number again is 740-262-0939. Chappie's Hydraulic Hose Specialist LLC, 1325 North Main Street, Marion, Ohio, 740-382-8552. Okay, now I need to share some announcements with you before we move on to the thought for today. Please join us Juneteenth Freedom and Fitness Walk community for our community of Marion, Ohio. This will be presented by Marion Minority Commission and is free and open to the public. Your choice of 1, 2, or 3 miles you can walk Friday, June 11th. That would be this Friday, and it starts at 7 p.m. at Ohio State University of Marion, Albert Student Center, 1465 Mount Vernon Avenue, Marion, Ohio. For more information, please call Sean at 740-751-9328. Community walk. Hopefully it doesn't rain.
Yeah.
We're getting a lot of rain. A lot of rain. And I think there will be a news flash if there is rain predicted for Friday. So people won't go out there and try to walk, you know. Now let me share with you the thought for today. And it's titled, Perfect Day. Be nice if we could have one, huh?
Yeah, well, we did Sunday. It was a beautiful day.
Okay. Perfect day. Our situations do not determine our happiness. Our response to the situation determines it. The response begins with the thoughts our mind creates. Feeding the mind with good thoughts to begin the day is like planting healthy seeds in a fertile space. The outer environment is often a reflection of our thoughts. We reap the fruits of happy thoughts that attract happy experiences. Sit back and program your mind for a perfect day. Set the foundation of emotional stability to build your responses. Situations and people can be imperfect, but your state of mind should remain perfect, calm, happy, and peaceful. Your thoughts, words, and actions should radiate positive vibrations, which in return attract more peace and happiness. Now let me turn my attention to Jeff Porter.
Hi.
Author of Expressions of the Last Days. How are you
That's
today?
Right. I'm wonderful. And I was just telling you a little bit ago about my medical reports.
All right.
And I've told this before that I had a heart attack in July 2015. And afterwards started suffering from congestive heart failure and type 2 diabetes. Mm-hmm. And it's been getting on my case ever since, you know. So I'm not real disciplined when it comes to food and stuff like that. You're supposed to exercise. You're supposed to eat the right food. Sometimes I do. Sometimes I don't, you know. But, and my doctor was really mad at me because they had given me a whole salad bowl full of medication. Mm. And I was really suffering from the side effects, mm-hmm. you know. I especially didn't like the diarrhea. But anyways, and it's some of the blood pressure medicine was making me dizzy. Mm-hmm. They gave me Entresto, and that was like a heroin experience. I was
really?
Like, felt like I was walking on the moon. But they said, go ahead, throw it out, you know, we'll go with something else. So they gave me something else
right.
that's supposed to help your heart. So when I went to the congestive heart failure clinic, I told them all about the hospital suggested that because I was in the hospital for a while. And they suggested that I go to the congestive heart failure clinic. And when I went there, and I was really skeptical of that because, you know, just too much medical this and medical that. I mean, I had the veterans for my regular medical, then I had to go to the hospital because I had nausea and breathing problems, and they sent me to the congestive heart failure clinic. So I was like, you know, I had too many doctor's appointments on my schedule here up there mm-hmm. in a dry board. But anyways, the Lord was like, just go ahead and go to these. Okay, so. The next time, about a month later, they did some blood work on me. And when I went in to talk to the doctor, she said, oh, she says, you're just doing so much better.
Wow.
She said, your blood pressure is evened out. Your A1C, which is a measurement of diabetes, it's supposed to be at 6-something. It went down 2 points from a 9 to a 7.3. Your heart, when it's weak, it won't pump all the water out of your system. And so what it was doing was my chest was filling up with water, and it was ejecting it down into my leg, where I have a steel rod in my leg from a car accident a while back. And all the water was going into that leg because the blood vessels weren't as strong. So it found it easier to eject that water into my leg. Then they gave me water pills for that. I was constantly taking water pills and constantly spending all this time in the restroom. Well, I woke up one morning and the swelling was gone. The water problem was gone. My heart was stronger.
Yes,
I could
wow.
walk further. So not only had the diabetes backing off, but I had my heart got stronger. I'll find out pretty soon exactly how much better it's doing, but it was like 23%, and they were mad at me because I wouldn't take a pacemaker, but I just didn't feel like I was supposed to.
Right.
And now I doubt very seriously if I need one. But the doctor said, oh, you need to take a pacemaker. I was in Columbus at Chalmers VA clinic, and they said, oh, man, you need a pacemaker. He said, you could keel over dead any minute.
Oh, my.
And I said, so could you.
That's true.
There's a lot of flies in here. Anyways, the next day I had an appointment with the eye clinic there. So I went in and they checked my eyes. And, you know, diabetes messes with your eyes really bad.
I've heard that before.
It swells
yes.
up the blood vessels and stuff, and they start leaking and messes up your vision. So they checked my eyes, and they were confident that there'd be something wrong with my eyes. And so He checked my eyes and he didn't find anything wrong, so he did a deeper scan and he said, your eyes couldn't be better. He said, I know you still have to use reading glasses, but I mean, as far as any damage to your eyes from the diabetes, there's none.
Miracle.
And I said, are you sure? He said, yes. I ran over it two or three times, took extra time to look at them, and there's nothing wrong with your eyes at all.
Whoa.
And see, I was running around with a 9, A1C for 9, now down to 7.3, and my eyes are perfect. I used to wake up in the morning and have nausea. The nausea is gone.
Okay.
The water problem is gone.
Mm.
And my heart is probably, it was at 23%. I would predict it's doing at least 59%
now. Wow, that's like
double. Because I'm feeling so much better.
Yeah. Well, God, thank you.
So,
thank you.
Wow.
That's
now,
beautiful.
Before that, I told you back in the old days, like in the 1970s and 1980s, I had spent about 8 years on the streets.
Mm-hmm.
And as a result, ended up having post-traumatic stress.
Right.
And I was a smoker. And the Lord delivered me from post-traumatic stress and from smoking a few months ago. So, you know, he's healed me of a lot of stuff.
Yes, he has.
Lately. And so I'm glad to be able to give that positive
testimony
input there, instead of always being a gloom and doom prophet. I can tell you that God is a healer. He's a merciful God.
Amen. Amen. Jehovah Rapha, I am your God.
Amen.
I am your healer.
I am that I am.
Yes, he is. Yes, he is. Wow, what a miracle, Jeff.
More than one.
Yes.
Yes. I believe he's going to completely heal me here pretty soon.
Amen.
I really believe it. I won't have to go to the doctor anymore. I won't have to take medicine anymore. I'll be free. It was really hard for me to accept all these medical problems because I had such good health all my life.
Right, right.
And all of a sudden, I have a heart attack and have all kinds of medical problems. I thought, I just couldn't accept it. You know, it was hard.
I'm sure it was. And with you not being able to accept it, you were more or less... I believe you're going to heal me, Lord. I need you to heal me. I can't accept this, you know. I want to be free of all of this. And God has granted you
Well, I've
your
seen
request.
So many good things happen. I mean, you got me off the streets.
Amen.
That was a biggie.
There's nothing too hard for God.
That's
nothing.
Right. And gave me a job not too long, about 3 months or so after I got off the streets. I got a job at Myers.
Okay.
And then later on got a job driving city bus.
Whoa.
So I was able to get out of my parents' house, and I got a house trailer.
Okay.
And bought that on like land contract or something. And so I was able to have some independence there and build up some stuff. It got me a TV and a stereo and a car.
So you just went shopping, right?
Well, it was fun.
Yeah, it is.
It really
fun.
Was, you know, redoing your life, you know.
Yeah, starting over.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Amen.
Wow.
And He delivered me from a bunch of false doctrines. I had the Book of Mormon, the teachings of Don Juan, and a bunch of other stuff that me and Mike just believed that was wrong. You know, me and Mike was a guy I ran around with on the streets, and got away from him and started getting delivered from the false doctrines and everything. I talked to him a few years ago. I didn't know if I'd ever hear from him again. But he left a phone number on my email, so I called him. And he still believes all those old false doctrines.
Really?
Yeah, and I said, you know, we're up in our 60s, and I said, you know, the Book of Mormon is false, Mike, you know, and teachings of Don Juan. He said, well, I'm too old to change now.
No, you're not.
So, okay, if that's what you want to believe, but you need to get rid of that stuff.
Yes,
know?
Yes. Because it will not lead him where he thinks he's going to go.
That's right. Because, you know, we're supposed to continuously seek after truth.
That's true.
And I had a book in here by this guy named Katz. And he was the type of preacher. He was a preacher, but he preached just pure truth all the time.
Right.
And he didn't have very big crowds because of that. But I ran into a thing lately where I was talking to a relative, you know, and I talk a lot about the last days, and she said, I just, you know, you talk about that all the time. She said, I don't believe it, that we're in the last days. And I said, why not? She says, I just think there's a lot of good people in the world. And I said, you know, hon, there really is, when it boils down to the real truth of the matter, there's no such thing as a good person. Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. What does all mean to you? I mean, everybody.
Right.
That's right. And so we all need to repent, as in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. And later on I said, you must be born again. She goes, I keep hearing that. You must be born again. And I've been praying for her, you know.
Good.
And she was just all upset because God had been shaking her tree, see?
Right.
And, you know, in our families, everything's supposed to be normal all the time, and nothing ever happens. But that is a deception.
Yes, it is.
I had a friend of mine say one time, he said, these people from that generation, nothing ever happens to them. I said, you know, really, you know, that sounds good, but it's really not good.
No.
They need to have their boat rocked so they can find out that this world tries to deceive you into believing that you're all right. When you die, you don't need anything. You just die. You know, but Hebrews 9:27 says it is appointed once unto man to die and then the judgment.
The judgment.
And you got, as soon as you die, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And so people just think everything's going along just honky-dory. And if you say something to them like, you must be born again.
Right.
They look at you like, what does that mean?
Right.
You know?
And maybe they don't understand that when you say, well, you know, when you leave here, you'll be present with the Lord. Maybe they don't understand it. Maybe they think, oh, I'll be in heaven with the Lord. But the reality is, wherever you're going to go, it's sealed when you die, right?
That's right. The only reason a person ends up not being in heaven and being in hell is because their name is not written in the book of life.
Right.
They never accepted Christ.
That's right.
You know, it wouldn't. God probably doesn't even bother to name off all your sins.
Oh no!
Because either your name is written in the book of life or it isn't.
What sends you to hell is unbelief.
That's right. That's exactly
in him,
right.
You
fearful
don't believe
and
in
the
Christ.
Unbelieving.
That's right.
Will end up in the lake of fire because, and you get, it's important that God expects us, all human beings, to be searching for the truth. You're not just sitting there watching TV all your life and not thinking about anything, you know,
mm-hmm.
especially The Simpsons. I don't think that would be a good place to start, you know, but we need to be searching for the truth.
Absolutely.
And, you know, the world will begin to reject you when you do.
Yes, I will.
Howdy.
Hi.
I'm supposed to pick up some tickets or something here.
Yeah, that you?
Yep, that's it.
All righty.
All right, thanks, honey.
Thank you.
Have a good day.
You too. Could you make sure you pull the door up for me?
Okay. Pull
thanks.
It shut?
Uh-huh. Pull it up, yeah. All righty.
That was one nice thing about the other place.
Right, we had another office.
We had two rooms.
Right. We do here, too, but
maybe if
just,
we beg, they'll give it, put us back in there.
Hey, what am I doing?
Really, I was so disappointed when they said we had to move.
Well?
But at least we're still in the air.
Not only that, we're an own building.
Yeah, that's true.
So we don't have to move anymore. Right. Don't have to move anymore either. That's the main thing, being in your own building.
Yeah, but maybe we should be back there.
And that might happen once they get it together. I'm not sure.
Good.
Not
okay,
sure.
They're still listening?
Of course. It's
okay.
Only 4:37.
So, something... Now, one of the big reasons why I'm so heavy on Bible prophecy is because it is a big thing that shakes people up.
Mm-hmm.
It shakes up their world. It makes them think.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not something that people are used to doing in America. You know, America can be very anti-intellectual.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're not supposed to think about anything. You're just supposed to get on your unicycle and go down to the bar and get drunk with your friends and go home and, you know. And you're not supposed to check anything. And see, as you begin to check in for truth, as you begin to think, well, now, wait a minute. I don't think that's the way things are supposed to be. You know, or somebody, maybe somebody dies in your family, you know, and you're sitting there going, well, you know, you're aware that there is death, but until somebody dies close to you, it doesn't really affect you that much.
True.
You know, so if somebody dies, that could shake up your world enough to make you start thinking, you know. Another thing is like a heart attack or a medical problem a lot of times, you know. A person goes along and their life's all perfect and their health is all perfect. Well, that's really not good.
No.
They need to go through a Job experience, whereas, you know, the doctor comes in and says, I'm sorry, but we got to do emergency surgery on you. Your heart's about ready to give out. We got to clean out some of that junk that's in your veins, you know. And that'll make you think, it's like, how long have I got until we go to surgery here, you know.
Right.
Yeah, and sometimes, you know, God will intervene in that situation. He knows your heart, and he knows if you're open to him or not.
True.
You know. Some people, that doesn't even affect them enough to make them open to God, you know. And they go right on into eternity without God, thinking that they're macho man or strong woman or something. None of that's going to help you.
No, they were saddened. How do you say it? They were sadly mistaken.
Yes.
Once they leave this world and open up their eyes in eternity.
Yes.
They're not with God.
God is the God of all eternity.
Right.
And you cannot overpower him. You cannot contradict him. People think that they're going to say this and say that to God, you know, like this one atheist. I forget what his name was, but he said, when I die, I believe I'll be able to tell God the many reasons why I don't believe in him. And he was talking to Walter Martin. And Walter Martin said, wait a minute, you got to be kidding me. You said you're an atheist, you don't believe there is a God. Now you're telling me when you die you're going to give him reasons you don't believe in him. That really makes a lot of sense, man. Here is God standing right in front of you, and you're going to give reasons why you don't believe in him or didn't believe in him when you were on earth?
Wow. That's a lot of nerve, isn't it?
Sure is. So I watched this thing on YouTube a while back, a couple of days ago I think it was, where these kids, you know, they're like in college, and some of the college professors are, if you take apologetic courses, they will sit there and hound you like an atheist would, you know, and say, well, what about this? What about, I don't believe because of this. And so this professor was able to find a real atheist and put him in. They're much different than they used to be. In fact, they're more difficult than Madeline Murray O'Hara was. And he was saying, you know, people were saying, like, the Hubble telescope. The reason why the Hubble telescope is named the Hubble telescope is because Hubble discovered, by looking through telescopes, they say he discovered that the universe is expanding. It's getting bigger. Now, that doesn't mean that any matter is being added to it. It's like drawing a bunch of circles on a balloon and blowing it up and watch those circles go out.
Right.
Well, he was trying to say, and people were saying, okay, if the universe is expanding like he says, then that shows you that it had a starting point. You know, something happened, created the universe. You could even say it was a Big Bang. I mean, maybe God just created the universe in a Big Bang. Who knows, you know, maybe it did make a Big Bang or whatever. But he said, oh, no, scientists have found out that the universe is expanding and contracting. Now, my question to him, you know, yeah, like an accordion. And I said, are you going to tell me that the universe is expanding and contracting at the same time? Because we're talking about billions and billions and trillions of light years. Does it go out a certain... Now, some of them say that the universe will continue to expand and it will reach a certain point, and then it will start contracting. Mm-hmm. Well, it's just a theory, it's just a model, and I don't see why it would start doing that unless somebody attached a vacuum cleaner to the very beginning of the source, you know. So I don't see how the universe could be expanding and contracting. I don't see how that's even possible. You know, you're almost talking about the universe like it's a living thing. You know, because most atheists just about worship the universe. They think, oh, the stars and galaxies and all that. I love that stuff, too.
Yeah, it's all inspiring, that's for sure.
It is. You think about the eternal God that created that. I mean, the Bible just says in Genesis, and he made the stars also.
Yes.
Well, scientists get in there and turn on some of those telescopes, especially the Hubble that's orbiting the Earth.
Have you heard that each star is an angel?
I've heard that before. Well, all I'm saying is he's an eternal God, because when you look through that telescope, right. I've got a telescope at home. I love looking at the moon.
Okay.
When it's about half. And when it's full, it's too bright.
Right.
But you go out there and look at the moon through your own telescope. If that's all you ever do with your telescope, you'll be in awe. Mm. Because you can see those craters and everything and shadows. It's so perfect.
Wow.
And, you know, it's a lot better than watching it on TV. I mean, you know, you just can see the reality, and you think, wow, what a universe out there. What else is out there, yes. I wonder, you know?
Yes.
Oh, see, there we come to another question.
Okay.
Is it possible that there's life out there?
Well, they say the fallen angels are out there, I guess. I don't know. They say Jupiter is representation of a god, Jupiter, the god Jupiter. Have you heard that too?
Yeah, out of the old Greek mythology.
Yeah, every planet represents a god.
Yeah. Now, if there is life out there, wouldn't they be in a fallen state because of Adam and Eve? Wouldn't the whole universe be in a fallen state?
I don't know, and I really don't know how to explain that, but I've heard other people try to explain that. I know the ones who had supposedly been with women were in the chains in darkness, but the other ones were
all the angels that are in darkness.
Yeah.
I talked about now what the question that we're leading up to, because when I asked the Lord what I was supposed to talk about today, I love the way he led me into this. He said that he wanted me to talk about UFOs, and are they real? Because there was a warship off the coast of California lately. They got swarmed by a bunch of UFOs, and they decided not to shoot at them. You know, I think that was a pretty good idea, not shooting at them. But they didn't do any damage to anything or anything like that. They're just swarming around it. Now, there's no explanation, absolutely none, as to why these UFOs were swarming around those warships, you know, the destroyers and stuff, and still don't. But President Obama, they were talking to President Obama about it, because he was wanting to declassify a lot of the documents that are old documents, so people could look at them.
Right.
You know, because the government has kept most of this stuff about UFOs secret. One of the big reasons for that is because in Area 51, for instance, where everybody was looking for some answer to the UFO thing, there are top-secret aircraft in there, and they cannot release top-secret stuff about aircraft if we want to keep our country safe and secure, you know.
True.
So, but there were people that have been and are still are claiming that there are crashed UFOs, and they took those UFOs in there, and they kept bodies in there and stuff from dead alien bodies. Well, we have no idea if any of that's true, you know. But the reason why is because there's been no hard evidence of UFO existence, just pictures and videos and stuff.
That's true, and if there was one, they're not going to let us know about it.
No, but I would say, you know, well, I saw this one documentary about different UFOs, and I believe that not in a not too distant future, mankind, the scientists in our world, will be able to figure out both time travel and space travel.
You think so?
And we'll be able to unravel some of these secrets. I don't think time travel is a very good idea, but, you know, there was these two guys, they were soldiers, they were patrolling a certain area, and they saw something like a flying saucer crash into the woods, so they went up there to investigate. That's what they're supposed to do.
Right.
And there was a flying saucer thing sitting there, you know, making noises and making lights come on and off and stuff, you know, wow, 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 wow. And didn't appear to be anything living, right? Because for one thing, it was too small. Mm-hmm. It's only about as big around as our, maybe two kitchen tables.
Okay.
And so the guy went up to it, and he very much regretted having done this. He touched that UFO, and it burned his fingers. And it caused some kind of nerve damage in his fingers, and he's never been able to get it fixed.
Hmm.
He said he has no idea why it did that.
Wow.
Well, and there was another, the one that fascinated me, and I wish I could find this documentary. A UFO flew over a schoolyard, and it landed just outside of, I think, a baseball field there. And the kids were all rushing towards it, you know, the teachers were all, don't touch it, get away from it, you know, don't get too close. And so they got right up to it, but they didn't touch it.
Okay.
But it just sat there, and, you know, all of those kids saw it. It was just plain as day, sitting there in front of them going, wow, 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 and moving around and stuff. Now, I want to stop there and explain something about Christianity. Right. I have looked at this thing about UFOs quite a bit. Asked the researchers a lot of questions.
Okay.
And they say that the UFO thing is mostly involved in the occult. In other words, Satan is causing a lot of these happenings because
strange sightings,
strange signs and wonders in the earth above,
okay.
You know, in the sky above and stuff.
I believe that.
But there is a very, very small percentage of UFOs that are totally unexplainable because they saw a mechanism land. It made noises. It turned and lights went on and off. I don't know if Satan's capable of doing all that. He could probably make UFOs look real up in the sky and stuff and, you know, put on a pretty good display for cameras. But when you have a UFO land with mechanisms and stuff going on, that makes things a little bit more complicated, I think. What do you think?
I think it makes things more complicated. It's hard to
I don't think we can
say
we can attribute all UFOs to satanic. I think a lot of them are. I think the majority of UFOs that are unexplained.
Yeah, I agree with that too.
Are probably occultic.
Yeah.
And a lot of times people who see UFOs like that and have a UFO experience, a lot of times are involved in the occult themselves, you know. And deeply involved.
Well, he can turn himself into an angel of light, so
that's true.
What else? I mean, that's like Prince of the Power of the Air also.
It's possible that he could make a UFO that has mechanisms and lights and stuff go on, but it makes me skeptical that we don't know everything. You know, and
no,
I think I forget what caused me to think this. But I think that some of these UFOs are, because I believe that mankind is going to be able to conquer time travel and be able to figure out how to do time travel. I think some of these UFOs are time machines, and they're probably experiments coming back from the future, looking at our times. And some of them are probably, you know, at first, you know, like everything else in science, the first thing you build is probably pretty primitive,
mm-hmm.
you know, compared to what you need.
Right.
And then later on they become more and more sophisticated so that the people in the future might make it look like a UFO so that they wouldn't know what it was.
Yeah, because when you think about it, it's either that or man's imagination.
Yeah.
Which is if it is just man's imagination, it's very vivid.
Well, I don't think so. I think the pictures that we have of UFOs, there was something there.
Had to be.
Yeah.
Too many people.
Other people saw it at the same time,
yes,
you know.
Yes, yes.
Okay, I saw a UFO. I probably, you don't remember me telling this. When I was a kid, about 8 years old, we lived on Columbia Street. And I lived in this two-story greenhouse. And me and the kids were out front playing skip rope. I've always been fascinated with this stuff, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Well, back then, you remember, jets used to fly a lot lower than they do now. They've got heavier restrictions now. But back then, even Air Force planes would fly very low, make a lot of racket stuff, and shake up your China. Well, jets were flying over, and they were making a bunch of noise. So I stopped skipping rope, and I ran out back, and there's this horseshoe-like driveway that went around beside my house and then went by other houses and went back out. And I ran up the driveway there, and there's this big thing we all called the big barn. It was just an abandoned barn or building or something. And I looked up, and the jets were gone. All of us, I turned around to walk back, and I heard this noise, like, doot, 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 doot. It sounded just like that. I turned around, and there was this big white thing, light, and it went in and out of itself like an accordion.
Mm-hmm.
It went, doot, 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 doot. And I ran in the house. I go, Mom, Mom, there's a spaceship, you know. And she goes, yeah, right, right. So the next day, there was a picture of it because somebody heard it coming and they were talking about it and got a picture of it and put it in the Marion Star.
Mm-hmm.
And I wasn't able, someday I'll make another attempt to find that paper. But other people saw it. And that's why I say there's something there, whether it's satanic or occultic or whether it's some kind of real thing or an Air Force experiment,
right?
You know, government experiment of some sort. Because these days they're talking about electromagnetic spectrum, you know, electromagnetic pulse. Electromagnetic pulse, EMP. Mm-hmm. And I was asking around, I'm still going to do some more asking about this. Is it possible to use electromagnetic pulse for propulsion? Because if it is, you could get, you know, to me, that is a very powerful, you know, I would think it would be a very powerful way to blast your spaceship out, you know, for propulsion. And you could do things like possibly go as fast as the speed of light or faster.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you could very quickly explore, like, for instance, our solar system. You get out there as far as Pluto in just a matter of minutes. You know, you're talking about millions and millions of miles.
Yeah.
Get out there. The sun is 93 million miles away. I don't know how far Pluto is, but as far away as it is, they say it's just a big ball of ice because it's so far away from the sun, you know.
Pluto. And then they found another one past there, Orion. Isn't that the name of it? Orion? O-R-I-O-N?
Orion.
Orion. Yes, Orion. Another planet.
I've heard of that. You know, they had on Men in Black, they had the galaxies on Orion's belt, which was a cat that had a collar with this little thing like a crystal ball, only it was more like a marble. And if you looked into it, you could see the universe in there spinning around.
I've never watched that.
It was a fascinating movie, really was. But you see, we're letting all this stuff invade our consciousness. And I'm not sure that's good. But I don't want to be so closed-minded. You know, a lot of apologists, they say, it's occult and that's it.
Right.
You know, and they're trying to get people to pay less attention to the UFO thing, more unto God. Well, yeah, that's true, but we're also supposed to find out the truth.
Right.
We're not supposed to just close things off and go, okay, now we're going to be, you know, a free will Baptist or something and do our apologetics research through, you know, we're so narrow-minded you can see through a keyhole with both eyes. You know,
right. Hey.
You know, let's open our minds up a little better than that. You know,
right.
How much time we got? About
3 minutes.
All right, I'm gonna just mention this. I haven't been able to find there used to be this ministry, apologetics ministry called Reason and Revelation, and they were talking about a guy that a group, a UFO cult called the Raelians. Mm-hmm. And this guy, he's a French race car driver. And he, of course, he was rich, you know, even to begin with, but he won a lot of races. And he said that one day he saw a UFO at the top of a mountain, and he went up there and they talked to him, and they said that technology is the big answer to everything. And so, you know, he said that they taught him how to do cloning and all that. So, but they were on TV a while after that. It was like years ago, and said that they had cloned a baby. And scientists checked it out, and they said no, they did not do any cloning. But UFO cults like that are very dangerous, I think, because, you know, they believe in open sex, they believe in open drugs and all that, so it's the same thing as any other cult. But mm-hmm. I would suggest that you look up something on the internet about, I don't know if there's anything on the internet about aliens or not anymore, because that was years ago, and I haven't been able to find Reason and Revelation. It was a really good apologetics ministry, but anyways, there are still UFO cults out there.
Oh, you know? Sure.
Yeah.
I'm sure there is.
Remember the Hale-Bopp comet that I forget what you called those people, that committed suicide because they thought they could go to a spaceship that was inside the Hale-Bopp comet's tail?
I think so, yeah. We're out of time, Jeff.
Okay. It's a good fascinating show today.
Fascinating subject. You had a lot to share with us, and we thank God for you and your experiences, and even opening up the occult as far as flying saucers being possible. Yeah. Thank you for listening to A Voice of a People with Linda Sims live here on WWGH 107.1.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM LP Marion, Ohio. The Talking Place. For the famous cookie man, Wally Amos.
And around the corner comes George and Barbara Bush. The first thing that occurred to me to do was to play. I went to the chief. and George Bush didn't quite know what to do. And Barbara just started dancing.
To legendary talk show host, Bill Donahue.
Mamma Murray O'Hara, the most hated woman in America, who took prayer out of public school. You know, we had a wonderful, wonderful odyssey there. I would wish it on anybody that I love. This was a fabulous thing that happened to me. 29 years, and imagine what happened during those times.